9 years ago today, it all started. We'll talk about the origins of Locked On Jazz. How's everybody doing as now most of us are at stay at home? And what news is there floating around the NBA? Plus, Andy Larson stops by to join us for this week's interview. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and hopefully making it way more fun to be a Jazz fan over the last 9 years. That's right. The first ever edition of Locked On Jazz was done 9 years ago today. We did it on YouTube. The transition of this is kind of crazy. So we started doing the show on YouTube. Then from YouTube, we moved to Google Hangouts. Then some of you will remember we had the guy who decided to show a little too much of himself on Google Hangouts. And that ended Google Hangouts. In the midst, we kind of were posting it up as a podcast and on YouTube. And I didn't know if anyone was listening. And I've told this story a million times that now, particularly when going through investor meetings and things like that, I use this very scientific approach. I asked a bunch of you to email me and tell me whether you were watching it online on YouTube or listening on this thing called a podcast. And it turned out that most of you were listening through this thing called a podcast. And I knew what the YouTube numbers were, so I was like, wow, there's actually a lot of people that are listening to this show. We can actually do something with it. So that rolled till June of 2016. Then the summer of June of 2016, we stretched it out and said, well, if this works for the Jazz, I launched Locked On NBA sometime around there. And then shortly thereafter, in probably January of 2016, I launched Locked On NBA. And then June of 2016... We started building the Locked On Podcast Network, and now the fifth largest sports podcast network in the country. The Locked On Podcast Network, the leader in daily sports, local sports podcasts for you. Really kind of an incredible journey, and I can't thank you enough for being a part of it with me. You know, really, if you don't listen to Locked On Jazz at the beginning, you don't embrace it, you're not kind of forward-thinking, you're not technologically savvy, you're not supportive of letting me make every mistake in the world and try new things and do bizarre crap things and have them go wrong, then we never get to this point. We never get to the point where Locked On Jazz is a viable thing with a Locked On Podcast Network now attached to it. So I'm incredibly thankful to you for your support. It's kind of wild that we've done this 9 days. I can't quite figure out how many shows we do a year, but we're probably pushing toward our 2000th show over 9 years of the Locked On Pod. And we just, you know, it's like, how do I get it up on iTunes? I didn't even know that at the beginning. And so we built this thing out. You guys really a large part of it. And I can't thank you enough. So kind of wild to be able to be a part of something that has been built up that you guys have allowed to have happen. Your support, your feedback, there's been, I mean, probably 50 to 100 times over 9 years where I've said, hey, could you email me your suggestions and, you know, what's going on with that and your thoughts, and you've given me great suggestions. So you've really helped build this, and I can't thank you enough. So anyway, wild 9 years today. Happy birthday to us as we do it. And now, did we ever imagine that we'd be at our ninth year and that we'd be in this circumstance? Nope. So how are you? You doing all right? I'll be honest. I couldn't decide what to do today. Do I tell the truth or do I kind of give this false pretense of, hey, stability and normalcy, and that would make you feel better. So I could do that. That would be a false pretense. The truth is I'm rocked. I'm uncertain. I miss it. I don't know what's happening next. I'm ripped apart by what I saw here in Summit County. in which, you know, I used to work in the ski industry. My dad was in the ski industry. I think I understand how many people are hourly in the ski industry. I was hourly in the ski industry at some point. You know, I was teaching lessons at one point in my life, hoping to make sure that I got enough lessons to pay for rent. And then to have, I watched an incredible thing take place. I watched basically in a span of what, you know, I've said is 24 hours, but the more we think about it, it's probably like 8 hours. I watched like every hourly employee in Summit County lose their job. And so I'm that's unnerving. So, you know, and I'd love to see all of you in an arena. And I don't have any idea when we're doing that again. We might play basketball sometime soon, but it does not feel right now that we would be playing basketball in a crowded arena anytime soon. So it's going to be really interesting to see when, what. I keep hearing the phrase normalcy. I don't even know. So anyway, I mean, I don't want to labor it. Also, you're kind of, and I'm sure you've got that too. So anyway, I just thought I'd share that. So I hope you're doing all right. So I'm doing the best. I think we all can. The kids have been amazing. We've had a fun discussion in the house of what is the worst ages to have for, having to be, on homeschool quarantine. So we're fortunate. We got a 17-year-old and a 15-year-old. They've been great. They're independent. They go upstairs. They do their Zoom classes. They've always done their homework by themselves. So actually they've been amazing and they're really great at entertaining. They've been amazing. I think we're probably have the best. We were debating. I decided that I thought, you know, if you're young enough, you just bail on just bail on school and you just play. Because frankly, you know, if you missed the last 2 months of second grade, I just don't think it really matters. You probably can do just as many life things somewhere else. And everyone's gonna be catching up. I'm not saying you totally bail on, but you know what I'm saying. So I decided that, like, if you have a seventh grader and a fourth grader, that might be it. They've got enough energy and enough juice. They really aren't naturally sitting down for school, and yet they need to. But then I ran into our neighbors up the street, and they have a, I think they have two twins that are like four and a 6-year-old. And I was like, oh, that's brutal. So I don't know what's the worst combination you could have. I know we're fortunate. We've got a pretty good one. Andy Larson's going to join us for the week. Here's my plan moving forward, at least for time being. I'm going to try to put something together for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of every week, and then Thursday we'll do a live show. So that's kind of the plan of the week. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I'll put together something. We'll do some fun things. We'll go back through the greatest teams of all time. We'll follow seasons. And then Thursday we'll do a live show. That's my plan moving forward. I would like it if you've got a local business and you're trying to stay open and you're trying to go – we're trying to support everyone. So please let me know and I will, try to mention those and give a shout out to those along the way. So if you have a chance and you do own a local business, I don't want to be giving away free advertising. We still have a company to run and employees to feed and those kind of things, but I do want to support our local companies as well. So that's the plan. Now, Andy Larson's is doing some interesting stuff. He's actually working on the coronavirus now as a data analytics guy. I will try to do some basketball stuff this week as well. Andy and I will talk corona for a little while, and then we'll get to basketball. But I'll try to run some numbers, find some fun things, look up some interesting data points, try to find some jazz conversations for you. But today I just wanted to thank you for your commitment over the last 9 years. And then I just wanted to kind of just see how everybody was and maybe be honest about just this is not the easiest thing we've dealt with. So, I don't have any great suggestion to you. I guess, hug those around you and try to find some semblance of order and try to find some way to interact with people. The best of your ability, and try to find some. I'm trying to find some normalcy. I think that's what I've struggled with the most, is just not having a understanding of how I'm, getting my regular day and done. I've lost 7 pounds, so that's good. I think we all have. That's actually the big joke on our whole text back and forth to everyone, is that we've all lost a bunch of weight from where we were earlier. on the air. All right, so I didn't have any great brilliant insight for you. There's not a lot to, on the basketball end of things. I'm not about to start projecting when and where things are going to happen yet. I think that's too hard to tell. But I do appreciate you kind of celebrate the 9 years of Locked On Jazz. And now let's turn it over to Andy Larson. Let's have some fun with Andy. Murdoch Chevy in the car business is still up and running. They have instituted all sorts of new systems for you. Their sales and service department is open. You can either go to Murdoch Chevy in Woods Cross, or they can bring the test drive to you. It's the Murdoch Sure program, transparent, convenient, and wow is their hope. So here's what they want to do for you. You can do all of your shopping online, and then they'll bring the car to you, and you can test drive it. Or if you'd like to go, you're welcome to. Transparent, out-the-door price quote. Get pre-approved online, and they'll bring the test drive to you in and out less than 60 minutes. That's all at Murdoch Chevy and the Murdoch line, the Chevy lineup of cars, the Silverado and the Colorado, plus the absolutely amazing Blazer. The Equinox's 2020 models are there for you. They're also doing no payments for 120 days, 0% financing for 84 months right now. And they've just, that Chevy lineup is amazing. So that's all at Murdoch Chevy, both in Logan and at Woods Cross. So make sure you check those out if you're in the need for a car. Maybe right now is the time to take advantage of all the deals and get yourself a brand new car over at Murdoch Chevy. Andy Larson is the guest this week. We super appreciate him taking the time with us. And really, as much as anything, Andy's the Salt Lake Tribune beat writer. I want to take a second and tip a hat to the Salt Lake Tribune, who has been doing great work. I think really a great reminder to us in a day and age of all sorts of various commentary about newspapers and media, how important things can be. So tip of the hat to the Salt Lake Tribune, tip of the hat to them leaving some of the coverage above the paywall so we can all see it. And at the same time, I would eagerly urge all of you to support yours. We talk about supporting our local restaurants and all those, also support our media because it's awfully important right now. I know I've added a bunch of subscriptions recently, dropped one that didn't seem as necessary as it used to, and added a few recently to do that. So, Andy Larson, welcome, and thank you to you and your colleagues for all the work at Salt Lake Tribune.
Yeah, thanks for having me, and thanks for saying those nice things about us. You know, we are working hard to give people what they need to know right now, and I think it's obviously tough to cover this story in a big way, but I think we're putting a lot of resources into it, and I am proud of what we've done so far. So thank you.
One of those resources is actually you. You actually are now taking all your data background and kind of covering the COVID-19 through the data end of things. Give us a little, I think if people don't know, obviously you're very analytically oriented in a lot of your basketball analysis, which I appreciate, but give people your data background and then also just kind of what you're finding out so far.
Yeah, I mean, I've always kind of been a numbers geek, and that's reflected in my, I was one of those kids who took calculus in like eighth grade, and I was a math major at Westminster College, and did my thesis on, actually it was a basketball data analytics project. So I've always been kind of into the data analysis side of things, and so it was kind of a logical thing when basketball ended. We kind of were looking around and like, okay, how are we going to use the people on the sports staff? And the logical way I could help out was by looking at some of the numbers and some of the trends and some of the statistics behind the coronavirus epidemic. So moving forward, I'm going to be writing these columns kind of in the style, honestly, of my triple team, where I'm going to be explaining the data and explaining what's going on to people, but from a local perspective, right? So my first article this weekend was on Summit County, and that county is the eighth highest per capita rate of coronavirus positive tests in America out of, 3,400 counties. So that, we have, this is a local problem. And so I think, kind of explaining the extent of this issue was important, and explaining how we got here is important. And then, obviously what's coming up. So, I think the numbers can really help us understand and bring clarity to what's a really confusing and difficult situation for a lot of people.
We will talk basketball. Fear not. We're not here to do coronavirus. That's kind of been our mantra, is that the Locked On Podcast Network will be your relief to everything. But there was actually in your article, I thought there was something really interesting and close to my heart, obviously living in Summit County, but the eight biggest places with coronavirus, and again, this is tested, so it's I think you would agree it's somewhat questionable data, but it's test per capita. The eight biggest spots were three or four New York counties, three or four ski counties, which had New Yorkers traveling to it or Seattleites traveling to it, and Mardi Gras, right? Like that was, it was interesting. It really, I thought, spoke to, and I'm not ignoring the economic impact on this. And I realize every time we kind of tweet out stay at home, there's somebody out there who's getting that as, you know, without a job and just like, you know, feels it. I hear you. But it really did kind of talk to the spread by, you know, of places. So you had Gunderson County, which I guess is Crested Butte. You had Eagle County at 8th, which is Vail. You had, I think, Aspen. You had Blaine County, which is Sun Valley. You had Summit County. And then you had three New York counties, and you had New Orleans, or Orleans Parish, which is New Orleans in Louisiana. I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, and it's not just in one location. You know, as much as, you know, we've heard about New York and at the very beginning of this thing, Washington, you know, I think it says a lot that in these ski towns it's happening. And then, you know, there are these weird pockets of it in the Midwest and South as well, where it's just really it happens in these rural counties, even where you get, you know, one or two people travel there or get it somehow, and then they spread it to their friends and family members in what are really tight-knit communities. So I think it's worth noting that as much as we see kind of this problem in very urban, very crowded areas, that rural areas can feel the effects of it just as strongly.
I have one question, and then we'll get to basketball.
Sure.
I look at the world map. I look at Europe. It looks like it's spread to every place. It's been in all 50 cities. We've seen a massive outbreak in Seattle, and then we saw the massive outbreak in New York, and now we're seeing kind of a significant outbreak in Boston and Philadelphia. Is there any reason to believe that there'll be any cities in the United States that don't get it, that it doesn't spread wildly?
I don't think that there's going to be any safe havens for this thing. I do think that there will be, you know, various degrees to which these cities are hit, and we may see, you know, New York hit harder than Boston, and which would be hit harder than, you know, Philadelphia or whatever, you know. And I think that will depend to a large degree on the steps that the local officials in each of those places take to prevent the spread of this thing. You know, at what point did they enact a shelter in place order, or at what point did they institute X or Y or Z policy? You know, I think those are going to be things that, if you look at the data from past epidemics, make a big difference. And but I think we're beyond the point where any major American city is going to be able to escape this thing, you know, and maybe even kind of the mid-tier American cities, or even the minor American cities, everywhere is going to see this affect their community in some way. And in terms of, I mean, honestly, deaths, we're going to see deaths everywhere. And that's, you know, that's tragic.
All right. So with that, we'll now work backwards. What does that give you for thoughts on whether we play basketball again this year?
Yeah. I think everyone that I've talked to involved in the NBA wants to play basketball again, right? Wants to have some semblance of an end to the season, whether that's a shortened playoffs, whether that's a five-game regular season run up to a playoff schedule that ends in August, whether, you know, even if that goes into September, I think there'd be some appetite for it from the league that, you know, I think wants to get as close to basketball-related revenue projections as possible. But I don't know that it's, you know, it's going to be really hard to play these games. Certainly, I don't think you can do it in front of fans for at least another 2 or 3 months. And I think it's going to be very difficult to do, you know, 5-on-5 games unless you have very quick testing. You know, if you have that, we have the capability to do the 5, 10, 15 minutes tests, and maybe you get every player tested before games and, you know, run games that way. But, like, you know, I think people are trying to be creative about when we return to play, but it's going to be a massive challenge for sure to get the number of people in an arena that you honestly need to in order to just make a 5-on-5 basketball game at the highest level work.
He's Andy Larson. He's writing for the Salt Lake Tribune. We will get to basketball, I promise. By the way, for those who are interested, I decided to go create a Twitter list of scientists and academia about COVID-19. The Twitter list is LockedOnSports/COVID-19. Pretty creative name, isn't it? It's just try. I have two reporters in there, maybe three now. Really, so I tried to eliminate anything but scientists. I'm going to go to the great John Huntsman quote that ended his political aspirations as in the Republican campaign when he said, "Call me crazy, I believe in science." But I will believe in science and academia on this. And so that Twitter list has been created for you. All right, we're going to talk basketball with Andy as we continue. Just thought we'd update you on what he's doing. Again, tip of the hat to the Salt Lake Tribune. If you're going to make those kind of community investments or gives, I would suggest the Salt Lake Tribune on that list as well. More with Andy Larson as we continue on Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. The life reality still continues that you may need to be, you may need to move, or you're in the midst of a move. We have a very close friend who knew at the end of the year that she and her family was moving to Lincoln, Nebraska, and you know now's the time they're doing it. The world didn't cooperate, but they right now is still the time. So Homie is still here for you. Homie has done over $50 million in savings for commissions over the last few years. They average saving sellers $10,000 on average, and they're selling homes for more money and 8 days faster over the last 3 years, according to an academic study from BYU. Homie has helped thousands of buyers and sellers in 2019 with over $1 billion of real estate transactions, and they continue to be there for you, both if you're a buyer or a seller. We've talked about selling the house with Homie a lot. You also can buy your house with Homie. Homie will refund you up to $5,000 back so you can buy more home with your money. Text LOCK to 88588. You'll be contacted with a Homie agent to find out about your dream home, tour homes, make offers, negotiate the best deal, and work. Homie will request a tour for you. There are still houses on the market. Real estate is still continuing to take place right now. And as he said, there are simply times when you have to move on these things. And Homie is here for you to help you in that circumstance. So visit homie.com or click text LOCK to 88588. Find out more about Homie and have an agent help you every step of the way. If you didn't catch it already, the new podcast is up and out. Chad Ford with Mark Stein in his first edition of Chad Ford's NBA Big Board. It is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. It is up. It is out. Also, Hollinger and Duncan continue to give you great content on the Locked On Podcast Network. So we are continuing with kind of the edict of let's give you your release, give you your sports as best we can. Have you been watching the old games, Andy? Have you enjoyed that, or have you found yourself having a hard time digging into that?
Yeah, no, I've really enjoyed them. I haven't watched every single one that's been on AT&T Sportsnet so far, but when I have been able to, I've caught them, and it's honestly just been good for me as like X's and O's basketball nerd to watch plays again, be like, oh man, Quinn, you know that was a brilliant timeout out of that, or a brilliant play out of that timeout. You know, to remember guys, even that just, you know, watch Jay Crowder hit the threes in the Warriors game, and you know, stuff like that. It's just kind of a good reminder of what we're missing.
I think, you know, it's been interesting to me even watching the really old games. We always talk about how the game's different, but I don't think we ever have a time to go back and watch. Like, I've talked about this a few times. I talked about it a lot on our live stream day, how much the illegal defense rule that we used to have really allowed for Stockton and Malone to have space. You know, we always hear about how there's no space in that game. Actually, I don't think that's true at all. The illegal defense actually allowed them to run like a side pick and roll in a manner that I don't think any of us, you know, you can't run today. And so it was, go ahead.
You can't bring over that third guy to help, right? Like, I mean, that's really what it is. And so if you do have side pick and roll isolated on that side, back in the 90s, you know, that's just like an unstoppable play, as I think Stockton Malone showed for years and years and years.
And now if you run that play, there's a guy sitting there, right?
Right. Now there's a guy cutting you off and ready to rotate to the weak side. And, you know, you've got you've got someone in the way. So, yeah, I mean, as good as Karl Malone is, and I think he would have finished a lot of those plays, he can't bowl people over at the rim necessarily.
So it's been interesting to kind of – I found that very interesting. I also thought, you know, it was interesting with the knowledge I have now at 25 years maybe more, covering the NBA to watch Stockton compared to when I watched him, you know, when I was in my, you know, when I started covering Stockton, I was 21, 22 years old. I didn't know the game the way I do now. So it's been great to kind of watch how great he was, you know, the one hand pass, the never turning his back, even in a day of hand checking, be able to see the passing lanes at all time. Some of that stuff I thought was really great in that day in which they aired all those Jazz games.
Totally. I mean, that 28 assist game it was the Spurs, right? Is phenomenal. I mean, just, yeah, his ability to kind of make passes in any situation and know where, I mean, this is obvious stuff, but like know where the other four guys are on the floor at any given time. And even when you don't think he's going to be able to make the pass, to deliver the pass is, well, you know, exceptional. And that's why he's the number one assist guy of all time. I don't think we're going to get a lot of criticism on our Stockton love from our Utah Jazz fans.
Did you hear what I got to do for the game six with Hornacek?
No, what'd you do?
So I live streamed, and the first game I had Eaton on, which was great. So I'm watching the game with Eaton, which was super cool. I mean, these are like, you and I both are similar in the sense that we are diehard Jazz fans as kids and then moved into the media. And I now get to just outwardly express my Jazz love at all times. You have to be a little bit more professional. You've sat next to me on the same row during a broadcast, so you just, you know, quietly make fun of it in tweets. I know. I'm aware. Then for game six, when they reran that, Hornacek joined me for the final 7 minutes, and it was – I know Jeff really well. I've had dinner with him multiple times, things like that at this point, but it was still an incredible thrill to sit there and have him, like, talk through that portion of the game.
Yeah, I can only imagine. I should actually go back, and I'm sure you've got that archive that I can go back and watch and see what Jeff had to say.
We had it. Actually, I put it up as my Friday podcast, so if you want it, you can hear those two interviews on Friday if you want it. It was fun. You know, it's a little weird because we're talking about a game that's going on and you can't see it, but it's – anyway. All right, let's go to the season. Have you, like, looked back? Like, it's hard. I find it hard to kind of dive back into where we were, you know, it had lost that game it was like heading into this huge stretch. Like the big question of, have they figured it out? Have they made a major stride? Have they integrated everyone? Here we go to Oklahoma City, back-to-back games, you know, against the rookies were coming with, back-to-back games with the Memphis and New Orleans, and then back-to-back games with the Lakers, and like it was this like stretch to find out whether they really had figured something out, having won five of their last six. What was your feeling? Did you think they had turned a corner?
I wasn't sure yet. You know, I think because they went on that stretch where they won four in a row, then lost four in a row, then won four in a row, and lost four in a row, blah, 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 blah. I wasn't going to be really convinced about any individual game or any individual performance until they put together kind of a longer stretch of not only wins, but I think the way in which you win really mattered to me by the end. And I think, you know, I agree with you that I think those games were really important. And in particular, just the Oklahoma City game, I think that was going to be a huge matchup. And honestly, whether or not Rudy Gobert played felt monstrous, right? Like it felt, whether if Rudy couldn't play that game and all of a sudden you lose to the Oklahoma City Thunder, go back down to fifth place and you know, don't have home court advantage going into the playoffs, it was a massive game. And then, yeah, I mean, like you said, you've got the Lakers back-to-backs that we missed out on last week. I'm with you that it's hard for me to like go back into the minutiae of the season, and I think we will during this podcast anyway, but it does feel kind of small now. And it also, I don't know how much of, you know, their recent form through February and March is going to matter when and if we play basketball again in, you know, July or August.
Yeah, I think that might be the most, it's so unprecedented. We'll have Noah. And then, you know, from our standpoint as numbers guys, I think there's so, you're going to end up throwing the season out. Like, it's going to be really hard to evaluate anything if we play again, how you analyze the first 60 games compared to the last whatever, and then the playoffs.
Right. And, I mean, you have guys who can't really work out right now because they're in their apartments and, you know, the gyms are closed. And so they're trying to work. They're trying to find places to work and shoot and, you know, stay healthy and stay engaged and stay in basketball shape. But I mean, the truth is, if there's a 3-month break, you're going to get guys who lose their shape and then are being asked to play regular season or playoff games right away. I mean, I think we'll see which of those guys are ready for that test. But I also wouldn't necessarily blame them if it turned out that, you know, we're seeing some really sloppy basketball when this thing starts up too.
You bring up an interesting point. Like, so Donovan bought a house recently, right? So Donovan actually like has some space, but one of the, I was talking to someone who's a front office in the league the other day who said to me, you realize that owning a house big enough to have your own gym is like a 40-year-old executive thing. And I was like, what do you mean? He goes, if you're a 24-year-old NBA player, you actually have the greatest gym in the world you go to every day. There's no reason for you to have a gym. Like, I know, I think Rudy actually might have like a court or something like that at this point. But like their point is, like, if you're one of these guys and you're under 25 or 26, one, you haven't actually had this huge payday yet. You've had a good one. And two, like, why would you have a gym? Why would you have a place to work out? You have the greatest place to work out with trainers somewhere close to your house that you go to every day. And it was kind of an interesting perspective that a lot of these guys are literally sitting in environments where they don't have access to workouts right now.
Yeah. And I mean, I think a lot of these guys too are new acquisitions. I mean, you look at the turnover of the Jazz's roster last year and, you know, like someone like Emmanuel Mudiay, right, is a perfect example. It's like he's a 23-year-old kid. He's on a 1-year minimum deal. You know, he's not going to spend a lot of money on infrastructure for his apartment when he doesn't know who he's going to play for in, you know, in 6 months. Like, it's just, it's not going to happen. And so, yeah, you know, Emmanuel Mudiay will do his best to stay ready. I'm not like worried about him in particular, but it's just like, there are so many of these guys. You know, the Jazz have 6 rookies on the roster this year and all of them are second round pick or undrafted guys. Like, all those guys aren't going to be buying all this gym equipment because haven't made that much money. They live in these apartment buildings that are, you know, they're nice apartments, but they're not, you know, the apartment building gym is closed. They're not allowed to go to the Zions Bank basketball campus. And so, yeah, they're, you know, playing video games and sitting at home and trying to stretch and work out and do push-ups and pull-ups and whatever else. But it's not like the great training for actually playing, again, playoff level basketball games.
Mike Conley has been the huge discussion of the season, probably because he's new and there was no connection to him more than any other reason, frankly. It's an interesting one to me. If you go just start at game 5, right? So you take out the 1-of-16 night, then I think it kind of built on itself, right, a little bit. And you just go to back to the game 6, start there. And this includes the whole minute restriction stretch, which is really false numbers to him. You could take those out too. The guy's averaging 15 points, 3 rebounds, 4.5 assists, a steal, 43% from the field, and 40% from 3. I think it's fair to say if you take out the minute restriction, he's probably averaging about 16-6 while shooting 44-40. Did we really not get, like, is that really less than what people thought?
Yeah, I don't think it's fair to like really expect much more than that. And you know, I don't know from a statistical point of view. I do worry when we're just taking out not random games, right? But I think those first 5 games matter. What happened in October matters. You know, I think the minutes restriction games matter. But you're like, I do think that this narrative that Mike Conley is now a terrible basketball player all of a sudden is significantly overblown. And like, he's been, especially I think over the last, you know, really since coming back from injury, was really a good player and honestly won the Jazz some games that they would definitely not have won otherwise. I mean, I thought he was terrific in, what was it, the Houston game and I think the Detroit game, if I'm remembering right. But I thought he really carried the Jazz to a couple of wins there in the last month that they don't have, and it's honestly the kind of wins that you really acquired Mike Conley for. Is the idea is, look, if Donovan Mitchell's having a bad shooting night, you can have another guy go to who can score 20, 25, 30. And it's still also the kind of guy that if he's not shooting well, adds things in other ways on the floor with his ability to pass and defend and leadership and that kind of stuff too. But yeah, I would say Mike Conley's season, it's through the first 61 games or whatever it is, was a disappointment, but I don't think it's a catastrophe. And, I think you have to kind of start there. I think you can say, is it necessarily, I don't think it worked out to the best in the way, that you hoped it would when you acquire him a day before the draft. But, I don't think it's fair to say that the book has been written on it by any means. There's still every possibility in the world that he comes back and makes a difference this year's playoffs, if that happens, or, certainly under contract for next year as well. And was it rough? I think a little bit, but less than people were saying, to be sure.
Mike, the numbers I just referenced, if you take, and I think Andy's right, you can't just eliminate games, but if you just take those 30 games after the rough start, four games out for the rough start, get the minute restriction games out, the Jazz are only 16-14 in those games, so I think that's something, but it was definitely a tougher schedule. 16 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, 43% from the field, and 44% from three. It's an interesting discussion of what you actually really could have. We'll talk more with Andy tomorrow on Locked On Jazz. Chad Ford's debut is out, so tell your smart device to play podcast Chad Ford's NBA Big Board.